I love preaching on this Sunday of the year, the Sunday that is either right before the new year or the first Sunday after the new year. I love to preach this Sunday because, like no other Sunday, there's a moment where everybody's thinking about the new year. Everybody's wondering what's going to be. And just for a half of a second, all of us entertain optimistic thoughts about everything that's going to change and all that is going to be ours as we head in to the new year. And we think good thoughts about what is before us. I want to step into those thoughts. It's a wonderful environment to preach in. And that's where we are this morning as we think about 2019. If God is kind and if He wills to give us life, by the time we get to next Sunday, we will be involved in yet another year. And as individuals, we get ready for the new year, and some of us pull out the calendar and we think through what's going to be, pull up our phone and imagine all that we're going to accomplish through this year, mark out weeks that we're going to do this and that. And as a church, we roll up our sleeves and we ready ourselves for what in fact is next that God is bringing us to. Now, what is sad is if you didn't know better, at some churches, you get the strong impression that the great aspiration of the church is, in fact, to have services and try to make budget and rah-rah, let's go into another year. Well, at Calvary, we're reaching not for the mundane and the routine, because in an environment where God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above and beyond all that we could ask or think, doesn't it stand to reason that we would think big thoughts about what God could do and think about how He could use even the likes of us? Remember that little boy who took the lunch of the loaves and the fishes. He had no idea that his meager provisions offered to the Lord were going to feed the multitude. Many of us live under the pile of, oh, the Lord could never use me, or I could never make any contribution. I'm sure that little guy walked home astonished at what God did. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk home knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior and anticipating an eternal home with Him. I want to walk home astonished that He used meager me, meager us, for His glory while we live. What will 2019 hold? I want to think about it with you this morning by coming to a paragraph in Ephesians chapter 5. I would invite you there this morning. A first century letter. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. I actually want to go two different directions. Here, the central challenge is going to be buy up the opportunities. Redeem the time. That's the central verbal challenge, the command of this passage. Well, I want to step back away from it with you this morning and ask what opportunities we will buy up in this coming year at Calvary Baptist Church. And so I want to use Ephesians 5, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, primarily 15, 16, and 17, as our focus this morning. But to think, I want to go two different directions. Number one, I want to give us, if you're with a golf coach and he's teaching you how to swing the club, he or she might say to you, hey, let me give you a couple of swing thoughts. This will help you. So as we head into 2019, first, let's think of a couple swing thoughts as a church for 2019. And then, in fact, Eric, where are we going at Calvary in 2019? We're right up against the calendar wall. We're there. Where is God taking us? That's our plan of attack. First, how should Calvary respond to this crazy moment in history? Here's two swing thoughts. You have volatility on Wall Street like none of us can remember. Crazy stuff. Losing 500 points on successive days. Gaining over 1,000 points on one day. Setting an all-time record. That's crazy stuff. You read sociologists' study of even gospel preaching churches in America and their forecasts for how many gospel preaching churches in America will close in the next 10 years. As well as you read statistics on new church starts and church plants, which have happened and are happening in the last 5 years, and other plans for them to happen. Global movements of church planting. We face political instability as never in my lifetime. The rhetoric, the tone of relatedness. We face simultaneously a growing economy with a diminished labor pool. It is said that what will hold back the economy from cascading forward will be the availability of able-bodied men and women to populate the jobs that are emerging to have. I was talking to one congregant in an employment office about the difficulty of manning and womaning up for all the posts that they have. You have now socially tribalism in America. I've referenced before Ben Sasse, a senator from Nebraska's book on how we are currently relating called Them, in which he argues there's two groups, us and them. And we like the us's, and we seem to be developing curried hatred for the them's, and we don't have anything to do with each other, just reenacting in some way Bosnia Herzegovina all over again here in America. And then, of course, just for good measure, we throw in a government shutdown. Fascinating days that we live in. How should Calvary respond to this crazy moment in history? Two swing thoughts, thinking about 2019 first. Skillful churches prepare for what is ahead. Ephesians 5, 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Hear the word of the Lord. Now again, the central challenge is in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Carefully. The idea is that we are more intent with earnest contemplation. Is that you? Is that me? As we face 2019, are we more intent with earnest contemplation? Not walking, not living as unwise, but living as wise. And it's wisdom that is a hallmark of how Jewish people thought about living. The Jewish word for wisdom is the notion of skill, that a person is living skillfully. Eric, what does it mean to be wise? It means to live skillfully. We can live skillfully. We can be wise as individuals. But collectively, as a church, we can be wise as well, or we can be foolish. Be careful how you live. Look carefully how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Okay then, Paul, give us more. Tell us more about how we can be wise in the way that we live. Making the best use of your time because the days are evil. We need no one else to tell us, hey, we're living in days that are fraught with evil. By the way, Satan would love to eat my lunch and eat your lunch in the coming year. He would love to dismantle us and give Jesus a black eye in our name as we claim to be his followers. So we do live in evil days. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and rulers in this age, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. So how do we prosecute this skillful life? What does it mean to be a skillful church? Well, he tells us in the next phrase, making the best use of your time, redeeming the time. The New Living Translation says, making the most of every opportunity. Redeem the time. That means buy up the limited supply. We're all astonished when we get to the end of the year and look at the new year to look back and say, wow, that didn't last very long. It seemed like we just came into 2018 and we're watching the ball drop, and now here we are, ready to watch the ball drop again. And then the more laps you get on the calendar, the faster it goes. Isn't that true? You know, you've just been born last week. Your whole life is only a week old. But when you live a little bit longer and stretch it out, it just keeps getting faster and faster and seems to be moving at warp speed. Well, we buy up the limited opportunity of time. Newsflash, we shall not live forever. We all are finite and have a limited number of days. Now, I usually don't do things like I did recently. I watched George Herbert Walker's funeral at the National Cathedral. I taped it, and then, you know, it was many hours long, and then I watched it. And then the next day, I just caught a glimpse of his funeral in, I was eating lunch, listening to Reba sing the Lord's Prayer, and the Oak Ridge Boys singing Amazing Grace. And then I caught a glimpse of him. They took his body out to Spring, Texas, and put him on a train. And it was a showcase train with the museum car. Union Pacific had put it together. And in fact, it was driven by a locomotive, Bush 4141, and it was painted like Air Force One. It looked really cool. And they took it 130 miles up to College Station. People lined the tracks along the way. And I thought, wow, that's a piece of history. That's fascinating. And I thought to myself, you know what? When I was a boy, I did a little bit of model railroading. And as I bear down on old age and what my children describe as, hey, you're returning to your childhood, I'm doing a little bit of model railroading again. I thought, you know what? I'd love to have that train. That'd just be a fascinating piece of history. So I wonder if I could get it. So I started doing research on whether or not I could buy the Union Pacific Bush 4141 locomotive that looked just exactly like Air Force One. You know, you can buy it. Three pints of blood, two appendages, and you can have it. As long as you won't tell anybody, I bought it. It doesn't come out till after January 19th, so I bought it. It's coming. And then I started thinking, you know what? I'd love to have that train. That'd be neat. And I think I saw it in some catalog. So I had a 2015 Walters catalog, and I thought, I'll look at that. So I opened up, and sure enough, they had the Union Pacific 7-car excursion passenger train with the museum car painted with the American flag, just like that. I thought, I got to get that. And so, of course, right here in Latonia, we have, you know, Tim's Trains. That's you know, it's kind of known regionally, even nationally. It's published in all these. So I get on and say, Tim, can you help me with this? And he said, you know what, that the run sold out. I said, the run sold out. And for a moment, I revisited economics 101 in college. You know, scarcity, supply and demand. The runs out, what's the runs out mean? Well, it means everyone that was made is purchased. They're all gone. Now, they made two kinds. They made one without lights and one with lights. And the only thing to remember about that is the one with lights is $100 more. You know, so then he said, if you want to find something, you go to eBay. So I scoured eBay, and there was one left. And I stared at it for 10 days. And I've been in these situations before where I quit staring and left and felt good about it. until I realized it was gone when I went back. The opportunity came and went, and I didn't lay hold of it. So I stand before you this morning limbless, because I gave the other appendages that were left to get it, and I got it, and it's at home. It was buying up an opportunity while I had the chance. 2019 is before us. And a dying world is waiting to see if we're going to step into the opportunity to live boldly for Jesus Christ in our age. And that's not preacher poppycock for Sunday morning. Isn't that an honest challenge from the Word of God from Ephesians 5, 15? We can either be proactive or reactive. Either sit back and wait, or be proactive and try to reach with all of our might for things that only God could do. 2019 is upon us individually and as a church. What kind of a year is it going to be for you? What kind of a year will it be for us? I don't want to sleepwalk through this year. Let's reach for things. People and in churches living with intentionality, being careful how they live, not as unwise but as wise. What do? They make the best use of the opportunity. Why? The days are evil and they don't last very long. So let's make the best of them. Isn't that what we want to do together at Calvary Baptist Church in 2019? I believe it is. So we're thinking ahead, and we're ready to buy up the opportunities. We're buying in 2019. We're buying the opportunities that are before us that God has given. Now, secondly, the second swing thought for 2019 is this. Tomorrow belongs to churches that have been there in thought ahead of time. Now, there are many things that we do not control. But all of us have the same amount of time to deal with. 24 hours a day in 7 days in a week. We all have that. Now, not all of us steward time the same. Remember the challenge. Look carefully then how you live. Not as unwise, but is wise. Well, how does a person live wisely? Making the best use of the time. Redeeming the time. Buying back the opportunity while you have the opportunity. I remember I came to a community once and began pastoral ministry at a new place, and they had a golf tournament as a part of the welcome, and I was playing in a foursome, and came to a big old long par 5 hole, and the drive was pretty good. We were playing in a scramble format, so we all hovered around the ball, had a caucus on what we ought to do. And I was leading in the discussion at the moment. I said, you know, I don't know whether to lay up or try to hit for the green. And if it's a shot par 5, if you get to the green in 2, you can have a lower score. It's an opportunity to advance on the field. And a guy said to me, and it was helpful, I appreciate it. He said, look, you did not come here to lay up. Get your 3-wood and hit that ball onto the green. I love that thought. Now, there's a sense in which I come into 2019, and maybe again it's, you know, bearing down on old age, but why lay up? We're all going to die. And it's going to come sooner than we'd like. Isn't that true? And don't you want to be found reaching? Maybe it'd be a good trend to start. You know, I'd just be buried like this because we were reaching, you know, for reaching for what's ahead. Isn't that what Paul said? Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth for what lies ahead. What are you reaching for in 2019? And is it worth it if you get it? And what shall we reach for together? I don't want to mark time in 2019 and just have services and make budget. Yeah, great year, you know? Don't you want to watch God do things that only He could do? I want to work hard, open my eyes, and die smiling, joyously happy at what God did during our days together. Isn't that the mode in our transmission we want together? Is that you as we head into 2019? Are we sharing our faith? Are we praying for our friends not yet committed to Christ? Are we going to take anybody to heaven with us? Are we going to walk in by ourselves? Well, then, where's Calvary going in 2019? I want to lead Calvary forward in these four ways in 2019. And this will only work if God blesses the effort and we do it together. It's one thing for a preacher to have dreams for a church, and he needs to, and I do. But it is a collective effort. This is not my church. This is our church. And to the extent that we own together the mission will be to that same extent that we realize the spoils of the Lord's blessing and His grace. And to the critic, and there always are, and God humbles us with criticism, and there's always criticism. But to the critic, I want to say at least this. Who are you praying for that would come to know Jesus Christ as Savior? Whose life are you involved with that you are next to? Who did you eat a meal with recently that has not yet come to follow Jesus? Who have you brought to attractive things that we've had here in the church? Before, isn't it fair or is it not to ask those questions before you say, well, she ain't what it once was, Eric, and now you're presiding over it. Well, and again, I love Randolph Hearst's answer to the lady who came up and said, hey, your paper's not as good as it used to be. He turned and looked at her in the eyes and he said, it never was. And then he turned and walked away. I don't even know what it meant, but it just sounds like a great retort. Yeah, there were 2,100 people here when Warren Wiersbe left for Moody Church in 1971. Hey, there's 700 now, and I'm grateful to God for every one of them. But when we all have our shoulder to the plow, this place will go as never before. I love that old Teddy Roosevelt quote about the critic and the person in the arena. You know, let's all get in the arena together, roll up our sleeves, work and pray and yearn, and then see what God does. And at the very least, stand before Him on the great day and say, God gave her everything I had. I watched about one Star Trek rerun. My apologies to all Trekkers, but I watched like one Star Trek. But they kind of replay it in some GIF kind of thing. But Scotty or Bones who kept the engine running on the Starship Enterprise? Scotty? Bill's a Trekker right there. That's something about him I didn't know. Well, you know, Scotty, you know, Kirk calls back and says, come on, Scotty. Can't you get more out of her? And he, you know, radios back, Captain Kirk, I got all she's got in her, and I'm giving her everything we got. Don't you want to die like that? I want to certainly take care of my body with you. I want to manage my health, not pound myself in the ground, but I want to die tired with kingdom sweat on my brow. Don't you? Why do you want to finish the race with 3/4 left in the tank? You know, don't run out of gas. But let's earnestly give ourselves to it together. Calvary's going four places. First, we are going across the street. There's two facets here, and they actually go two different directions. In our neighborhoods and at work and through our life groups with outreach. You know what promotes health in a church? Is reaching out. We can become ingrown. We can become internally focused. The church is really a unique thing. It's the only organism that exists for the purpose of bringing in people who are not a part of the fellowship yet. It's a rather odd entity. We don't exist for ourselves. We don't exist to amuse ourselves or entertain ourselves or even look at ourselves weekly in great huddles like this. We exist to be equipped to follow this one who loved us and gave himself for us and give ourselves to his cause in the world, inviting other people to him. The great question still remains, what on earth are we doing for heaven's sake? What are we doing? Let's do it together. Maybe my conscience is at a fever pitch this morning out of the fact that we have three funerals this week for three dear ones here at Calvary, now gone on to glory. And Andy and I spent 2 hours with our friend who's in his early 50s, who's in hospice dying on Christmas Day. That was two of the best hours we had on Christmas Day, trying to encourage his heart. And Friday, I received word that a buddy that I'd invested a lot in was found dead. So it's been that kind of a week, just a week punctuated by death. Now, there's nothing like that that'll clear your categories out for what's really important and what we ought to be living for. And often God lays side by side what would burden my heart, and it aligns with where we are here in the Bible. So will we bless others in this coming year? I love that acrostic. Be praying for others. B, L, listening to others. It's amazing what you can discover about the pain in a person's heart if we will but listen. But we have to close our mouth, and that's hard. Listen to others. Eat with others. You know, we're right in the middle of Project 100. This initiative started on July the 1st of last year of hosting 100 meals with those who have not yet come to follow Jesus. Karen Geiger, my assistant, is taking care of the census on this. We achieved 75 meals this week. So we're at 75. We have 25 more to reach our goal of Project 100. But why isn't that a normal habit of our life? And in an age where supposedly we are so digitally connected with all these digital friendships, I still think the MIT social philosophy professor is right to say that we are together alone with a profound sense of estrangement from each other. And so a meal still gets huge play. Are we doing that? Project 100? Hey, why not 175 meals next year? Why not keep reaching it? Be praying for others, listen to others, eat with others, serve others. Life is hard. Everybody's fighting a battle, everybody. And if you listen, you'll hear one little way that you can pick up one little burden in the midst of the way and serve your neighbor. And then finally, share with your neighbor. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the last 25 years, quote supposedly by St. Francis of Preach the Gospel, and if you have to use words, has been highly celebrated. Somebody did research. Francis never said that, but it's a cute little phrase. And it is true that our lives themselves can become a living epistle, but it's also true that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What God uses to bring people to faith is his word. And sharing his word with others is a part of what it means to reach for somebody else. And what a thrill to do it. Just sowing the seed. Cynicism is so high that the trust of human friendship is about the only means that begins to break it down and lower a person's defenses such that they begin to think about the claims of Jesus Christ and the hope that they were invited to believe the gospel. By the way, passing through this week, 3 funerals, another death, and a man dying. Let me ask you, as you finish 2018 and head into 2019, if the Lord requires your soul in 2019, are you ready to meet the Lord? Do you know Him as your Savior? Has God brought you here on the last Sunday of 2018 to prod you awake? Knock on the door of your heart. There's a really sweet picture, Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open up, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Do you know what it means to sup with the very one who has given you life? To commune with your Creator who in Jesus Christ ran after you so that you could have life, so that you could be forgiven, so that we could have hope. Oh, the glory of knowing Jesus as Savior. If you're here this morning, you need to talk to someone. You want to know more about that? You want to be certain of your salvation? The gospel is an announcement about what God has done to save us. It's not an invitation for a bunch of things we are to do to save ourselves. It's good news, not harsh news. And God invites you to receive the gift of life. Do you know Him? Can we lead you to Him this morning? We're just a bunch of beggars that have found Him through His grace, and we have come to hope, and we want you to have that hope. We're going across the street to reach for our neighbor. We have to think about outreach. But we're also going across the street with our senior high ministry, literally to the firehouse. A neat development in 2019 is our Ignite senior high group will go to the firehouse, which is a bit of an irony. We're going to ignite the firehouse, you know. So, isn't it true that the future belongs to churches who are going to nurture a new generation of Christ followers? Jason Walsh, who's not here this morning, I think he's off playing in the snow on vacation, actually. His family loves snow play. Jason Walsh is doing a good job here as our student pastor. He's faithful. He's thoughtful, he's mature, he loves Jesus Christ, and he loves our students. We're staging to deploy the senior high to the firehouse. We're going to give it a facelift that would create an environment that would be appreciated by the senior hires. We are sensitive to celebrate recovery and the good work that goes there every Tuesday night. We're doing everything we can not to inhibit that work at all in the midst of this change. You know, our sole investment money from a few years predates me, was collected, and part of the great aspiration was to develop space for a senior high. Well, what we found as we've done research is, if God would allow us in some way to tie into an existing utility construct of some sort, if we have a freestanding building where we have to start over with plumbing and electric and mechanicals, it's a lot more expensive than if we can tap into a place, latch on to some utilities already run to a place, we can get more bang for our buck and get a bigger outcome, which is what we want. And so step one will be to deploy the student group over there. Step two, in God's timing, will be to build an annex onto that building, which would take the White House out here and right onto the green space, so that an activity center could be there, but tapping into some resources already there will allow us to cheapen the per square foot cost to do that. Will we do all of that in 2019? Well, we'll at least get across the street and stage for that in every way, and then see where it goes to get as much done as we can. We're going across the street in 2019 to reach for our neighbor and work associate and those we play with, but also with our student ministry group. Secondly, we're going across the aisle with supportive connections. Great churches are made up of great connections. Supportive. Remember our four R's of our discipleship process here. First, we rely upon Jesus Christ for our hope of eternal salvation. We come to trust in Him. Then we renew our minds, the deceitfulness of sin, the lifelong habit as Adam's children of suppressing the self-evident truths that God has revealed. Well, we renew our minds through our ABFs. We renew our minds through our Calvary University. We're on the cusp of a new semester. Then we relate. We relate through our life group ministries. We relate through our adult Bible fellowship networks. You know, our life groups had come to a moment where there were, if I have the figures right, a 62. The census fell to a low of 62. We had 80 people join our life group network in our open enrollment for the fall. We're going to have open enrollment again in 2019. Eric, why are we doing that? To relate. Final R is reflect in service to our Lord. We reflect Jesus Christ. But this matter of relating could not be more important. You know why people stick with churches? Because they feel like they're a part of the network. Like somebody cares for them. I had someone tell me recently, in the last 3 months, you know what? We came to know Jesus having had a background that was not a gospel preaching background, and we heard the gospel and came to understand grace and receive Christ, but we were green as grass. We knew nothing. We knew about nothing. And an adult Bible fellowship class at Calvary, I remember the description is kindred hearts, latched onto us and loved us and helped us forward. And those connections mattered for us. Now, what's the open secret in American evangelical Christianity is people come and go at churches. It's no secret that people have left Calvary. And I don't do everything right, but during the time that I have had the privilege, and it is that, of leading, when a family leaves, I try to run after them and listen, figure out what has gone on. First, I want to make sure we haven't offended them. Because I don't want any impediment to our progress forward to be out there. And I want to resolve the offense if there's been an offense. Number two, I want to make sure that they haven't lapsed into a season of discouragement and are just sitting in a pile of struggle, that we couldn't be beside them with our soul care ministry or any other means. Just love them forward and help them. And thirdly, I want to make sure that they haven't wandered off in sin, and their absence is just cover for I'm going to live however I want and indulge myself. And fourthly, and not lastly by any means, it's important for me to listen to anything, and for us and our leadership to listen to anything they have to say about what's going on. Well, and I hate these appointments, but I think they're very important, and I think that contact really matters. But I had one recently. And in the midst of having the appointment, here's what I heard. We've been through heck in the last few years. Now, they didn't use the word heck, but that we've been through heck in the last few years. And as I listened to them, I think they had the outstanding impression that nobody cared and nobody noticed and nobody was next to them and nobody reached for them. Have you ever been in one of those desperate moments in life? I have. And by the way, just look around. We're all fighting battles. They are not the same ones, but this world is broken. And it's groaning and travailing, and all of us feel it. But we have such high expectations for each other in church. This is the family of God. This is the ideal, isn't it not? Well, because of those high expectations, we can get highly disappointed when our expectations are not met. Now, a friend is one who shows himself friendly, and if you withdraw from ABFs and you withdraw from small groups and you are tangentially attending here once in a while, you cannot conclude that they don't care for me because you have to be engaged. But this family happened to be engaged at some level. Too much cannot be said for the importance of reaching for each other across the aisle. Do you watch out for people? Do you get out of your car on Sunday morning through the parking lot and coming in and say, God, help me encourage others. Who can I encourage? Do you look around? Hey, where are they? I haven't seen them this week. I'm going to call. Do you know a person who shared a burden with you from the week before? Hey, I know they're hurting. I've prayed for them. I'm going to get an update this week. You get 700 people who are walking in and out of here on a mission like that. I'll tell you what, you build the network of support and encouragement that won't quit. Are you that kind of a person? That's where we're going in 2019, working on building up those networks. They'll show a news team on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and it'll look like the whole town's out there. Big old piles of sand, big old sandbags, big old long lines. One person's got the shovel. The other person's holding the bag. Then they pass the bag, and they're passing it. And the whole community is arm in arm working to survive together the coming storm. Now, there'll be some more storms in 2019. Then there'll be some things to have parties over. But we need to be close enough to each other, linked up enough to each other, to be able to support each other in the midst of it. We are working at more strident supportive connections in 2019. That's where we're going. Now, the third direction we're going is here. And I want you to listen very closely to this. I don't want to be misunderstood. And I'm going to try to be clear. We're going to build a bridge to our financial future. Like it or not, in a postmodern world, money is the fuel for mission. It keeps the mission going. Churches have life cycles. They're not all the same. Remember, our fiscal year is July 1 to June 30. Not this one we are in the midst of, the last 6 months, but the last year we had the doxology offering, where we were aspiring for both the budget, which was a vision of what we wanted to accomplish in mission, plus an additional $250,000. It was a stout, ambitious goal. God in his mercy met it. We not only received $250,000 to invest in a church plant and infrastructure at the school that the school can use, but also $80,000 in digital infrastructure here that we enjoy even this morning in our service, along with other initiatives that were in that money. We received $250,000 plus another $30,000, some of which will be used for the remodeling of the space in the firehouse to receive Ignite, our senior high ministry. But it was a great giving year. Don't forget that. And we sang the doxology repeatedly last year, did we not? As we thought about that together. But can I be candid with you about this moment and posturing for the future and sustainability? Calvary went through a number of lean years where money had to be used in reserve accounts to make things work. If you have deficits for 7 or 8 years in a row, that has a debilitating effect upon your reserves that you have. Now, if we get a real shrewd CPA like Henry to get next to us and advise us on, he would say all nonprofits should have general accounting principles, the GAAP principles. All nonprofits should have 3 months of their budget liquid in cash in your checking account just for the ebb and flow of what happens in life. We don't have that. There was a day in the past where Calvary sat on checking account balances that were very healthy. Thank God. There were also days in the past where Calvary was indebted to congregants who graciously had loaned the church money to keep going. When Matt Shelton came as our chief financial officer in 2004, that was the case on a couple of fronts. And we're very pleased not to be in debt to any institution or any individual. That's been resolved. But where we have sat on reserves in time past that helped the life of the ministry, and who wants to have a credit line? Nobody. I'm going to fight not to have a credit line. And I've been in environments where they've had credit lines before. What we did this year is we took our budget back by 8%. That wasn't easy. That involved cutting a staff member and a half out of our pastoral team that represented, in total employment costs, about $150,000. You step back like that, it's not easy to step back forward. And, oh, we'll just next year, we'll just do that. No, it's not that easy. We reduced it for the purpose of working on sustainability, kind of repositioning the church, among other things, financially, to keep the mission going forward with all of our might. So what does this year mean? You say, Eric, wait, time out, Eric. I look and it looks like we're up $50,000 on giving to budget. Well, what that means is we have $50,000 to backfill into accounts that over the last 10 years have been used to sustain obligations that we've had. But it's going in the right direction. We want to build a bridge this year. And it's about being very careful and being prudent so that we can have a future that will help us run like the wind. We'll build a bridge to the future by rebuilding these used reserves, repay all the accounts. And by the way, as soon as the margins will allow, we'll run after not only putting up that annex for the space for the firehouse, but we're also dreaming about creating children's ministry space by changing out and remodeling a few areas that we have so that it could all be in a secure environment and we could freshen it together. We're going to build a bridge to our financial future. And God be praised for the direction we're going. We're well on our way. We want to excel still more with generosity. Finally, we're going to deepen our joy through a growing affection for Jesus Christ. We're going to deepen our joy through a growing affection for Jesus Christ. Is Calvary a joyful church? I want to ask you that. Are you joyful? Are we joyful? Is that what you sense when you sample the life here? Joy in a church is like what J. Oswald Chambers discussed in his book, Spiritual Leadership, when he talked about holiness. He said this, and I think of joy in a church in the same way. Holiness is hard to define, but its presence or absence is easily discerned. You say, Eric, well, what are you talking about, this abstract concept of joy in a church? Well, here I want to paraphrase him and say that joy in church may be hard to define, but its presence or absence is easily discerned. And whether you're up here leading in worship, or whether it's the preacher, and that would be me and others, or whether it's an ABF teacher, or a small group leader, or a congregant, or a servant of Christ at any level, are we joyful? I had a seminary professor, he used fascinating phrases. He said, you know, you look at some churches, and it very much looks like half of them have just been weaned on pickle juice, you know. Are we joyful? And that asks the more fundamental question, do we have any excuse for joy? Isn't it true that among all people who've ever lived, knowing Jesus Christ puts us in a position to be the most joyful? Now, I'm not talking about plastic, inauthentic pretending, kind of like the Lawrence Welk and the Bubbles. That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. No, life in a broken world is not always wonderful. It can be tragic. There are people here this morning whose hearts hurt. But whatever is making their hearts hurt is not changing the reality that Jesus Christ accomplished something eternal in his coming at Bethlehem, in his dying on Calvary, and in the fact that the tomb is empty and he was raised from the dead. And he has brought us to a living hope. Nothing can change that. It's now settled. It's now certain. It is a blessed assurance. You ever met a person who really loves Jesus? I mean, not fakey or pious. is love Jesus, walking with him. I find it a little unnerving at times when I'm in my spirit complaining about something that's going on and so focused on issues in the below world and have lost sight of the eternal realities of hope that God has brought me to, that even death cannot taint or take away. David Brainerd ministered to the Indians in New Jersey in the 1730s. He died at 28, left a journal that many have read through the years. He wrote once, "I long to spend the little inch of time I have in the world more for God." We're on the cusp of a brand new year. It very well may be that in God's kindness, if the coming of Jesus Christ is tarried, we shall receive graciously from our Lord another inch. What shall we do with our inch? Let us be found reaching across the street. Let us be found reaching across the aisle. Let us be found building that financial bridge with generosity. Let us be found deepening our joy through a growing affection for Jesus Christ. What will be your part? What will be mine? Eric, what would motivate me to do that? How about the deep love that the Father has for us in Jesus Christ? Do we need anything else? Dear Lord, even as we sing this song, help us weigh out in our own spirit the role that you are calling us to move Calvary forward in this brand new year. Thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you for every person that is here. Thank you for your love for them, your deep love for them. And thank you for the challenge of what you've called us to. And faithful is he who calls us, who also will do it. Help us be found obedient, buying up the time, redeeming opportunities. 2019, Lord, move us ahead. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing, give ourselves to him.